A movie about the life of underground comic book writer Harvey Pekar won the Top Drama Prize Saturday night at the Sundance Film Festival in Park City, Utah. The movie American Splendor is named after the comic book that Pekar's been writing since the mid-1970s. The movie includes animation, archival video, and images of the real Pekar, whose comics portray his dreary life as a file clerk in Cleveland. Pekar is also a former NPR commentator. The biggest annual comic book festival in the Western world took place over the weekend in southwestern France. Some 200,000 artists, writers, and fans wandered through the medieval streets of Angoulême beneath hanging banners depicting Batman, Tintin, and other comic book heroes. Frank Browning reports.
To get what's going on here, forget what your parents told you about rotting your mind with comics. Comics, or bande dessinée as they're called here, are very serious business. Tony Bennett, editor and publisher of Knockabout Comics in London, has been coming to the Angoulême Festival for 2 decades. 20% of the books published in France, Bennett says, are comic books.
Here they celebrate not only the money and the finance of it and the business of it, but the art of comics as well, which doesn't really happen so much in America or Britain. Because most of our comics are aimed at teenage boys, I guess, you know, that's the men in tights fighting and whatever. And it is very, very serious. It's funded. The Minister of Culture comes to visit the fair. I mean, today we have the Princess and Prince of Belgium coming.
Oh, yes, I see the Princess, Mathilde, and here is the Prince, yeah.
Alain Lefebvre is a Belgian reporter who's followed his country's royalty to Angoulême for the renaming of the town's main street, after Belgium's most famous comic artist, Hergé, creator of the dot-eyed child scout Tintin. Comic authors, Lefebvre explained, are the real stars in Belgium.
We don't have a lot of big actors. We don't have a movie industry. So the comics authors in Belgium are all stars, you know. They are like a Tom Cruise in America, you know. It's the same thing. We're talking about them all the time. There is their picture in the press. They're very famous and important figure.
Throughout much of Europe, Gilbert Shelton is a star. Shelton created the fabulous furry Freak Brothers, icons of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll era of 1960s and 70s California. He's still drawing and has been coming to Angoulême almost since the festival began, 30 years ago.
The nature of this festival has changed over the years. When it began, it was comics fans and private local sponsorship. And then one year the mayor of the town ran off with all the money for the festival, and then they started making it more commercial. Now it has banks and supermarket sponsors, and it's more mainstream than it was 30 years ago.
But not too mainstream. Lines of Shelton's fans wait for him to dedicate their copies of the Freak Brothers, published in both English and French.
What would you like, the Freak Brothers, Fat Freddy's Cat?
Freak Brothers. Kid, I have get home from you.
Children in and near Angoulême are let out of school for the Comics Festival, and the town is flooded with them and their teachers. Librarians are here, too, and comics are also big business for them. One said that on some days, all the books checked out are comic books. In fact, the National Library System includes a comics archive in Angoulême. In another part of the same building this year is something called the Imaginary Museums of Comics, a sort of Louvre of comic book art, history, and ethnography. Paul Gravatt is an expert in comics history.
We also have just on the wall here the evolution of the dog in comic strip form.
Let's take a look.
A pseudo-scientific format here, where you go from the famous Dogmatics, who is the dog from Asterix, the little cute little dog here, grows up through Garfield, through to Bill from Bobby Bill, through to Rantanplan, to other dog characters here, right through to Goofy the dog. And at the very end, the evolution stops, and suddenly we are in the future with Canis Robotis, the robot dog.
The museum takes up 2 floors of galleries with everything about comics, how they're made, how humor, images, and fantasy have evolved in the last 200 years since a Swiss artist named Rudolf Tepper began drawing cartoon stories.
He was an artist who couldn't draw very well, and he was a writer who couldn't write very well. But you put the two together, and you have a comic artist who's a genius. And one of his fans was Goethe. The writer Goethe saw what he was doing. He sent the albums to Goethe, and he was saying, this is a marvelous new form of literature. It has great potential. And here we are, nearly two centuries later, seeing that potential, just how much comics have been able to create through their history.
Comics are an even bigger deal in Asia.
The South Korean population is like 43 million people, but the total print of comics per year is almost 50 million.
Kim Nak Ho is curator for the South Korean exhibit at this year's festival. Japan and Vietnam also have exhibits. The Korean pavilion includes images that range from traditional storyboards to animated cartoons that pop up on mobile phones. Maybe the most surprising thing about Korean comics, Kim Nak Ho says, is the growing power of women.
40 to 50% of the artists are women, and the rate is increasing ever more. I mean, females are reading more and more comics accordingly, because the comics are representing more and more feministic views. I mean, there aren't any, like, you know, heroes in spandex anymore.
Which may not be good news for Spider-Man, but the permanent Angoulême Museum of Comics, set to open in 2007, will always be happy to take in his threadbare costumes. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning in Angoulême, France.